I want to thank you all for being here. It is a privilege to have you here. Now, I am not a navigator, nor a minister in Ecuador. So, you are free. As I share with you from the Word of God, if you think, how can I be in the navigators with this hard teaching? You don't have to be, because I'm not a navigator. And if you say, how can I go to Ecuador with this hard teaching? You don't have to be, because I'm not your pastor. I'm going away. You think, how can I live with this teaching? You don't have to. I'm going away, right? I'm going to Cameroon, then to Cuba, then to South Africa, then to Russia. We're not only going away, we're going far away. So you don't have to worry, okay? Just listen to the Word of God. Let God's Word speak in your heart. This first session will be the introductory session on the Family Discipleship Seminar. This is actually a 12-week seminar that Brother Amika, will you stand up? Brother Amika is the zonal director with the Navigators, and he can teach this. You can bring him and his wife and his children up here for a week. He can teach Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and a half day Saturday, and you would get them all. So you would have everything. Plus, you would understand him, as opposed to my Oyibo English. Okay? You wouldn't always be saying, say that again, say that again. He speaks the Queen's English in a clear Nigerian tongue. So you will be able to understand him. Now, as the seminar progresses, you can sit anywhere you want to in this big room. But those who sit on the front will receive gifts. So, that's fine. You can sit anywhere you want to, but those who sit in the front will be receiving gifts. Your husband. Otherwise, no blessing. Great. So we are going to begin our first lecture. It's the introductory lecture on the Family Discipleship Seminar. We will be looking at it from the Word of God. I did not travel all of this way at this expense, leaving my 4 children and 9 grandchildren back at home, to free you from the Word of God, to tell you that what the Bible says isn't really what it says. Instead, you can do something else. Okay? I have come to share with you what the Word of God is, and to bring us under submission and subjection to the written Word of God. Those of you who are Equa, what's the first statement? We hold the Bible to be inerrant and authoritative. And the Grace Community International, the ministry in which I serve, does the same thing. Now I have a handout for you. There we go. Those go, they'll have to. You start in the front and work your way back.
Okay.
Joanne, we start in the front and we work our way back. Those who do not have a handout, I can make more during the lunch break or during Brother Amika's time with you. I will be speaking. Brother Amika will be talking to us about the spiritual development of our children and about teenagers. Since he has children that I have watched walking with God, walking with God, and now they are teenagers who are respectful and well-mannered and walking with God. So he can speak with authority on that. At one point in the lectures, my wife and I will be breaking up, and she will be taking the ladies, and she will be talking about making the home a refuge for your family. I will be talking with men about providing for a home that is refuge for your family. So we'll be doing that. So there'll be some diversity. I'm not going to make you just sit there, sit up straight, and listen to me. I'll be calling on some people to read the Word of God. We will be looking at the Word of God. But it will be the Word of God. Who can tell me what a plumb line is when you are building a wall? What is a plumb line? You are building a wall and you are using a plumb line. What is it? This brother.
It's a tool that ensures that the blocks
you're laying are perfect. That's great. Yeah. You have some wood and you put the wood up. It doesn't matter if the wood is straight or not, because God has created gravity, and the plumb line has a weight at the end, and that is going to be straight. We can't do it visually, can we? Because of optical illusions. What's behind us distorts our vision. So we use a plumb line. If you build your house using a plumb line, the wall will be straight and you can make it 2-3 stories. If you don't use a plumb line, it will slowly go at an angle and collapse. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman tears it down. So we will, ladies, be looking at the plumb line of God's Word and what you are doing with your home. Next, the Word of God says it is a mirror. We look at a mirror. Does the mirror change anything? Does the mirror change anything?
No.
It tells us what to change. But it does not change anything. And many of us go to a seminar like this, and we listen and sit and listen, and we look at ourselves in a mirror and think, now we are under the blessing of God. But God says, no. If you look in the mirror and see the appropriate changes and make them, a mirror is a blessing. But just to look in the mirror and see, you have a spot here, your head, some of your hair is sticking up, maybe you shaved and you have shaving cream here, your mascara is running, whatever it is, your lipstick is up, whatever it is, if you look in the mirror and don't make any changes, is the mirror a blessing? No. The mirror is simply a mirror. You responding to the mirror makes the difference. And so I want to dispel all illusions that by coming here and having the plumb line of God's Word dropped against your house and looking in the mirror, that God is going to bless you. No, He has blessed you by dropping the plumb line and giving you a mirror. That's the blessing of God. Your response will be obedience in faith. Okay? So, having said that, let's stand and ask God to bless His holy, His eternal, His inerrant written Word. Shall we? Stand together with me, if you would. Ladies with small children, whenever we stand to sing, you don't have to. Elderly women or men with knees or hips that hurt, you don't have to stand either. We won't judge you. Everybody else, let's stand together. O Lord God, this is Your holy Word. We are Your servants. Give us understanding that we might know Your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. Use Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word to set us apart to Your service and to Your glory. From Your holy word, show us great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Let not your word go out and return void, O Lord, but accomplish that purpose for which you have gathered us here this morning, and for which you are now sending it out. Protect us from Satan, who will snatch your word as it is sown, making it fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions which make our hearts hard and unresponsive to your word. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion for other interests which enter in and choke your word, making it fruitless. Rather, give us good soil, O Lord. May your word send roots downward and bear fruit upwards.
Amen.
Unsheathe now the sword of your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge this morning the thoughts and the intention of every heart that is gathered here. Spread your word before us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might eat of the rich meat and drink of the sweet milk of the great doctrines of your word. Give us the heart of the prophet who cried to you, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." O Lord, we live in a dark and a wicked age. Broad is the way, and many are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
Make your word a light to our path.
Amen.
Show us that narrow way that you would have us walk.
Amen.
And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts that in loving you more, we would be more obedient to your holy word. Drop your word against our lives this day as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and its holy purposes. Make your word to us a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and go away and promptly forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your holy word. O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this morning our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant written word. And we pledge to you this morning our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Now, we have a challenge here. We've increased our number back into the galleries. So I think we will revert back to the microphone. And then at some time, we'll send one of the faithful men, and they come. At some point, we'll send somebody over to the church and get one of those choir stands. That way I can have the Bible open, the mic, and my notes. See, that's the problem with the mic. You know, I have to juggle three things. So, we'll see how it goes. Now, we'll be drinking coffee in front of you, and I apologize. My mother always told me, if you do not have enough to share with everybody, If you don't have enough to share with everybody, then you don't need in front of them. But, oh, great. You're hearing me back there? Ah! We'll go old style. Somehow, the church got along for 2,000 years without microphones. I don't know how they did it, but they muddled along. So we'll give it a try. My mother told me, you shouldn't share. You shouldn't drink if you can't share. Unfortunately, I do not have the faith of Elijah's widow, where the jar will keep filling and filling and filling. So, I can share with you. Right now it is 3 a.m. in Oyibo land. So I'm doing the night shift tonight. So you will forgive me if I drink coffee in front of you. Now, in our introduction to this seminar, one of the things that I have to keep bringing back to people is faith. It's on faith. Everybody wants a miracle. You know what miracle I give you? The miracle of Jonah, just like Jesus did. Where is Jonah found? The Word of God. Jesus Christ told the masses, a wicked and perverse generation desires a miracle, a sign from God. I will give you the sign of Jonah. You have the holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word of God, and you have the resurrected Savior. If that's not enough for you, you are not going to be able to preserve your marriage and family. So one of the first questions I ask people are, I have some handouts here. They are daily quiet times for you and your wife to do together. How many would like them? Daily quiet times for all of them. Everybody. Great. Another question. Who right now can say in the last 2 weeks they met each morning with their wife in word and prayer? Okay. So these are the people that get them. Why would I give you something you're not going to use? Okay? If you are not meeting daily with your wife in the word and prayer, we have a pledge sheet up here. By signing my signature below, I give my solemn word to do these daily quiet times alone with God, faithfully with my spouse, that's with your husband or wife, until they have all been completed, and then to continue praying and reading to get the Bible together as a marriage and family lifestyle. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So think about this. Ecclesiastes 5:4. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. So we'll put this up here. You are not having a daily quiet time alone with God on a regular basis. But you want to. Therefore, you will get one. However, if you are not, why would you want one? Is that a valid question? At some conferences, I have flash drives with messages and Bible studies on them. Pastor Mika has these. And I'll offer them to people. And a person will say, yes, I would want one. And I'll ask him, do you have a laptop? No. Do you have a computer? No. Do you have access to a laptop or computer? No. Then why do you want one? Why do you want one? Are you meeting daily with your wife with the Bible open, reading a passage, message and praying over it. No. Why do you want a quiet time and how to do this? Okay. Why do you want one? So, I'm going to give this to my sweet wife, Eleanor, who this week, in the last 2 weeks, prayed daily with their wife over the words. Raise your hand. This, in the last 2 weeks. Okay, honey? They get one. This week. Please go ahead. The Bible open, your wife sitting next to you, together. Okay? He gets one. I didn't say you prayed and your wife prayed. You prayed together at the same time. This couple gets one. Okay? This gentleman gets one. Your wife sitting next to you. And you're praying. This gentleman gets one. This lady gets one. Just look for the hands, darling. Whatever the hand. Okay? Now, for the rest of you, if you want to commit to doing that, you are welcome to one, and we'll count up the number of signatures and make sure everybody leaves with one. But why would you want one if you are not going to do it? Sweetheart, there's a gentleman right there. You only need one per couple because you are doing it together, right? Why would you want one if you were not going to do it? Okay? Good question. Did we give them all out? Okay, that was... We'll get those to you. Now, there were 20 of those. Did one couple, a married couple, take more than one? Okay, good. One per couple. Great. We'll make some more. Raise your hand if you didn't get one. Okay. You prayed this morning or yesterday morning with your husband with the Bible open. Okay? One, two, did you get one? Three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, we'll make 10 more. Eleanor, would you make them note? We'll make 10 more. Plus anybody who commits to doing it. Great. I'm not saying you pray and your husband prays. And I'm not saying you are going to start doing that. I'm going to say, in the last 2 weeks, as a lifestyle, I could find you, either in the morning or evening, sometime during the day, sitting next to your husband, with the Bible open, reading and praying. Okay? Leviticus 19:11. Thou shalt not lie, nor steal, nor deal falsely. So don't lie, don't steal these, and don't deal falsely with me. Okay? Leviticus 19:11. Now, when I share this seminar, one of the complaints I get from men is if they become a loving husband, if they treat their wife as the weaker vessel and help her carry things rather than her carrying his things, if they open the door for their wife and help her in, instead of walking through the door and letting it slam on her, if they open the door for her, if they make sure the children honor her rather than treating her like house help, if they do this, if they speak kind words to her, send her text messages of love, you know what they tell me? Well, my brothers in the family and people around me will call me henpecked. What do I care about what failures think about me? Doctor, are you worried about what students who fail medical school think about your practice? You're not, are you? Is the pastor here? Is someone here who's been to Bible college or seminary? Do you care what students who fail their classes and leave the Bible college or seminary think about you? No, you don't care. And what do I care about men who are failures, even if they're in my own family? What do I care about what failures think about my actions? Because that's what they are. They have unhappy marriages. They're living in disobedience to the Word of God. They're hypocrites because they expect God to deal with them a different way than they deal with their wife. They are failures, and you're worried about what they think. Why would you worry? You find out that some student who failed in his medical studies and is now out working in the market is saying, I was cheated out of my degree. That guy, he thinks he's special. You don't care. You don't even listen to him, do you? No, he's just making excuses for his failure. What do you care about men who are failures as fathers and husbands? What do you care what they think? I don't care what they think. Why should you? So we won't deal with that problem. Now, everybody wants to raise their children by faith. How many here want to raise their children by faith? That by faith, we are going to have godly children. Oh, okay. Only two people in this whole room. Okay? Well, I'm sure there are more. Gentlemen, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Ladies, turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 26. This is the first chapter of Romans, the great book from our Lord, God the Father, who gave it to us through the Holy Spirit on faith. And it is the last chapter on that great book that God gave us through the Holy Spirit on faith. Let's read Romans 1, 5. One of the gentlemen, who would like to read that? Okay. Brother Amika, would you stand and read Romans 1, 5? So you know what's coming, Bill Hodge.
Romans chapter 1, verse 5. We have received grace and apostleship through him to bring about the obedience of faith among all the nations on behalf of his name.
So Paul has come to the church to bring about what? The miracles of faith? The signs and wonders of faith? The dreams and visions of faith, opening up the storehouses of heaven, the fabulous wealth of faith. What's he come to bring about? The obedience of faith. And if you want God to bless your faith, you must obey him. Then he closes out. Bill Hatu, Romans 16:26, please.
But now revealed and made known through the prophetic scripture, according to the command of the eternal Lord, advance the obedience of faith among all nations.
The obedience of faith among all nations. Faith which brings about miracles? No. Faith which brings about healings? No. Faith which brings about the storehouses of heaven, making us all rich? No. Visions? No. Any demon can do those things. It is the obedience of faith. No deceiving spirit wants you to obey the Word of God. That's why you don't have these Holy Spirit crusades that have... Get your blessing of obedience to the Word of God. Learn to witness and make disciples. Do they ever say that? It's always get, get, get. And many of you came here to get from me the blessing of being a good parent. And I'm going to give it to you by giving you the Word of God, and you will have an opportunity to obey it. If you obey it, you will be blessed. If you do not obey it, you will not be blessed. And there are people who will take your money and tell you otherwise, but they're lying to you. If every Holy Spirit glorious fire crusade where people brought their money that should be going to their church and to their family and their children and instead gave it for their miracle, if they were not lying to you, the streets of Nigeria would be paved with gold. all Christians would be living in mansions and the hospitals would be empty. Because for 30 years, from the little bittiest little village church to the great big so-called cathedral, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, that's over 1,000 times a year in every church, that's hundreds of thousands of times over the last 30 years, people have been told if they will give their money, they'll get their miracle. Do they occur? Are you fabulously wealthy? Are you never sick? But you're still gambling with them, aren't you? Don't do that. Come to God, giving Him the obedience of faith, and leave the results of that faith with Him. Leave the results of that faith with Him. The first thing we do when it comes to faith is lay aside greed and covetousness. Look at James 4, verse 3. James 4, verse 3. James 4, 3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you want to use it on your dissolute pleasures." James 4:3. You want to spend it on yourself. What you want in the area of the family is for God to give you the miracle of a good marriage and obedient children while you seek material wealth. God says it's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. You don't ask from God to open the storehouses of heaven and pour wealth down on you, and you seek after material wealth while you just say, "And bless my children, bless my marriage." God calls you to the obedience of faith in your marriage. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly spheres desires in Christ, not material blessing." That's why you've been praying and praying for material blessing, and all God has rewarded you for is your obedience in the workplace. That's Colossians 3:22. "Work heartily for the Lord and not for men, for you know it is from Christ the Lord that you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is Christ the Lord for whom you are working." Colossians 3:23. God will reward your obedience, not your covetousness. How many of you want to get to heaven and find your storehouse empty? Do you want that? Then you should thank Jesus every day that He's not going to open the storehouse and give it to you that is there waiting for you. There were two sons. One was a good son, one was a prodigal. Who wanted his inheritance now? The prodigal son, who was willing to wait on the timing of his loving father. Which one are you? Which one are you? Greed. Irresponsibility. Brother Amika, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Sister Belhatu, Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. The men, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The ladies, Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Okay? Brother Amika?
1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, so that you are able to bear it."
Now, where difficulties and trials and temptations occur beyond our control, where they rise, God's grace rises, doesn't it? My wife's dad died when she was a small child. Her mother had to go to work or they would be homeless. She was a widow. She claimed the verse, "I will be a father to the fatherless." And God's grace did intervene, didn't it? But this verse does not say where irresponsibility and disobedience to the Word of God increases, God's blessing will increase. It doesn't say that, does it? That is called a presumptuous sin in the book of Psalms. And David prayed, "Oh Lord, save me from my presumptuous sins." To presume upon the grace of God when what God requires is obedience. That verse is Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Sister?
"Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit."
You will never reap a different crop than the one you sow, will you? You have a friend whose name is Hezekiah, and he says, "My corn crop never comes up." I say, "Really, Hezekiah?" "Oh yes, it never comes up." Well, do you prepare? He lives in the same estate I live in. Do you prepare the soil? "Oh yes. In fact, I had somebody from the agricultural department of the university come and test my soil. It's perfect for corn." Ah! Well, is there, maybe you've got a tree or something that's too much. No, it's the land is clear. Well, maybe you don't have water. "Oh no. I put in an irrigation system. There's plenty of water." Well, perhaps you need to protect it from insects and weeds. He says, "No, I'm out there every afternoon taking care of it." "Really? I don't understand. I have a great corn crop every year, and I haven't spent nearly the amount of time and money you have." He said, "Well, will you come watch me this year when I plant my corn? Maybe I'm doing something wrong." So I said, "Yes, I will." And so I got out there. He's got the furrows all done. It's a beautiful plot of land. And he has a big bag. And on the bag, it says, "Green beans." And he's faithfully planting green beans. Will he ever reap corn?
No,
he won't. What if he spends all night in prayer? Now will he reap corn? What if he goes to the Holy Spirit Miracle Crusade and gives the tithe, the double tithe, the triple tithe, the offering, and the miracle sacrifice with gift? Now will he get corn? What if he casts the demon of green beans out of his soil? Now will he get corn? You will never reap a different crop than the one you sow. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this morning, you can spend the night in prayer. You can pray over your children every night. You can give the tithe, the double tithe, the triple tithe, the miracle sacrifice offering. You can cast all the demons you want to out of your home. But if you are not sowing obedience in your marriage and in the raising of your children, you are going to reap what you sow. That's very important for us to understand. We will always reap what we sow. And don't come to me and say, "Well, I gave my children to God because He doesn't want them. He gave them to you." Isn't that right? Children are a gift from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Not me. It's not for everybody. But for those to whom God does give that gift, He doesn't want your children back. The company you work for, gentlemen, gives you a brand new computer. But you don't like working, so you want to give the computer back to them. Do they want it back? No. They want you to do your job. Ladies, your husband buys you a brand new stove on which to cook. But you don't want to cook. You want to give it back to your husband. Does he want it back?
No.
He wants And ladies and gentlemen, you ask God for the child. You didn't have to ask Him for it. You did not have to. You could have chosen not to. I think you could have chosen. Okay. Gentlemen, how many of you had a dream and the angel came to you and said, your wife is going to divinely conceive? Anybody? Ladies, how many of you an angel appeared to you and said, the glory will shine on high and you're going to have a baby? No? You and your husband prayed for it, and then you men did it. And you supplied the chromosome. If it's a boy, it's you, gentlemen. If it's a girl, it's you, gentlemen. Not your wife. Don't look at your wife and say, please give me a boy this time. No, your wife looks at you and says, I wonder if you gave me a boy or a girl. Isn't that true? That's science. So don't bring that to the feet of your wife. God doesn't want your children back. You are a steward of His gift. He doesn't want it back. He doesn't want it back. And He doesn't want strangers doing your work. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. Prayers of faith, therefore, bless obedience. They do not bless disobedience. God never has and never will bless disobedience. He won't do it. And if you are living in obedience to the Word of God, I gave you the handout in your marriage, and you are living in obedience to the Word of God in your family, and you can do these daily devotionals from the Word of God, God will bless that. But He won't bless disobedience. He will not do it. I remember when I tell my students when I'm teaching at the seminary, before they take a test, this is the prayer I pray. Dear Jesus, there are many students in here who did not do all their assignments and did not prepare. And they are asking You for a miracle, even though they have been a lazy student. Do not answer that prayer. On the other hand, Lord, Colossians 3:23 says, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And there are students here who have been very faithful, and they have worked very hard at their studies to bring glory to You. Honor their obedience. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I'm not going to pray a prayer that God will bless your disobedience. If you are working hard to know and be and do God's will, I will pray a prayer that He will bless that. If you are not, I will pray that God will bring you under divine discipline so that you will do that. So after you finish all the quiet time sheets I've given you, now you begin going through the New Testament. You read a chapter every morning with your wife, and you ask, today, what does God want me to know? K-N-O-W. What does God want me to be? And what does God want me to do? It's very simple, isn't it? And that becomes your lifestyle. You see, in the area of biblical child raising, we differentiate between fact and the fruits of your ministry and the testimony that accompanies it. Did you understand me? In the area of biblical marriage and child raising, we differentiate between the fact and fruits. Your church is growing, but you have never invited anybody to church with you. It's a fact that your church is growing, but God has not blessed your disobedience. Your testimony in the area of church growth is that you have been a slothful member, never inviting people. That's your testimony, isn't it? You don't get to say, well, you know, it's in God's hands, and you know, I've never invited anybody to church, and the church is growing. That's not your testimony, that's your confession. Do you see what I mean? It is the same way with evangelism. You never witness to your neighbor. Your neighbor comes to Christ. That is the fact. It is not your testimony. Well, you see, I've never witnessed to my neighbor. My neighbor came to Christ. You see, it's all in God's hands. We don't have to do anything. That's your confession of sin. It's not something you want to be proud of. If you're proud of that, your glory is your shame. The fact is that irrespective of your disobedience, in the area of personal evangelism, God brought your neighbor to Christ. That's a fact. But that's not your testimony. And when it comes to your children and your marriage, you don't get to say, well, you know, you just don't know. You just give it all to God. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Look at brother so-and-so. He neglected his child for his work, or he neglected his child for the ministry, and his children turned out all right. That's a fact. Not brother so-and-so's testimony. Brother so-and-so's testimony is, I neglected my marriage, I neglected my family, and God, to my shame, used other people to save them and build them up. That's his confession. You understand that? So we don't sit there and use a fact as a testimony when it's not a testimony. It's a shame. It's what you confess. That's very important. So let's go back to faith. We want to raise our family by faith. That is not faith that God will bless our negligence and disobedience. That is faith that we will conform to God's definition of faith, obedience. Then we can pray for our children when we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. When you are loving Jesus, and you are conforming your life and your prayers to His Word, you can pray confidently that He'll bless your children and your marriage. You say, I love Jesus. Well, we don't get to decide what it means to love Jesus. God decides that, doesn't He? John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. John 14:23. And he said to them, if any man loves me, he will keep my word. John 14:24. He who does not love me does not keep my word. The love of Jesus is not asking him to bless your disobedience. The love of Jesus is obeying him sacrificially. Luke 9:23. If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. The love of Jesus is obedience. Faith is obedience. We obey the written word of God. So the first thing we have to do, if we are going to survive in Christian marriages and Christian child raising, is we have to bring ourselves in obedience and subjection to the Word of God, because the sower sows the Word. Then you will reap the crop which you have sown. May God add His blessing to His holy Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.